To see you this morning. We're going to continue in worship, and the next song we're going to sing is called Raise a Hallelujah, and it's awesome because it talks about singing through the battle and that God is with us in the midst of everything we face. So stand with us if you feel like it, and we will praise the Lord this morning.
Presence of my enemies, I'll raise up.
Nothing is better.
Let's pray together. Lord God, you're a strong God, an almighty God, an everlasting God that proves, well, you're not a God with a small letter G, but a God with a capital G. You are the only transcendent, the only sacrificial, the only merciful and graceful, the most loving God. And to know you and to experience you, oh, it's the greatest pleasure. To feel your strength, to feel your protection in this time, to feel a sense of love that is unconditional, that goes beyond whatever we've experienced just ourselves as human beings. For it's true, something profound happens when you, as a divine God, a holy God, reaches down and grabs a hold of us. And that is a change that pulls us out of our selfish shell. It gets us looking at things with an eternal perspective. It's a call where you point out through the Holy Spirit those we should help and encourage and support. And Father, you know that we've been in this spot for a long time. And it's easy to get a little frustrated, a little tired, even a little despondent over, you know, will this ever change? But you bring the greatest change, and that's the change within us all. And once we are changed by you, transformed by you, that becomes infectious to everyone else. And the unity and the harmony, the mutual support and encouragement that we're all looking for, it begins to happen. And it happens because of you. And we do once again want to pray for all that are on the front lines. We want to pray for our government leadership. We pray for those in leadership and in corporations and groups and companies. For Lord, they're a positive influence as well as they make decisions that are in accordance with, well, what you've directed us to do, encouraged us to be. We're thankful for the opportunity to worship you today. We offer to you where we fell short or missed the mark in the last week. Let us leave that guilt and that shame, that failure and fallibility, let us leave it here. And let us take up the grace and love that you have for us, the forgiving love that you have for us. We want to worship you today, both in truth and in spirit. As we lift you up, Lord, I pray that you would lift us up as well. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So let's thank the band and everyone. And now you can kind of high-five somebody around you from a long ways away, or give them an elbow, or whatever you would like to do. So there are some absolutely cool things and some very funny things happening around the church. Just keep checking the website, especially the children and youth ministry area. They keep doing all these really meaningful things, but also things that just make you laugh a little bit, and that does lighten our mood as we make our way. There is a great opportunity for men coming up Promise Keepers, and here is the Promise Keeper video, and then we'll go to Ed Tulloch, who's reading our scripture passage.
What does it mean to gather? To come together, to assemble, to take in from scattered places. To gather is to be stronger together. The world looks very different these days. And if you're feeling confused, helpless, or disconnected, you're not alone. And now is not the time to give up hope. Save the date, July 31st and August 1st. We're calling all men to gather. Find out what God has in store for you as individuals so you can rise up as a brotherhood in Christ. And join the Promise Keepers virtual experience, a simulcast in your area where you can safely gather with your brothers in person.
Guys, get that on your calendar. We're going to satellite it here, and we've got a lot of room, so we'll watch it. We'll stay as far apart as we need to, and we'd love to include you in that. Rick is heading that up, Pastor Rick, so just give him a call if you have any questions about that.
I'll be reading passages from the book of Acts, chapters 1 and 2, and they're in the New Living Translation. He, Jesus, replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." In chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability.
So we're in Acts today. We're going to talk about authentic discipleship. Now, we mentioned once before that a disciple is a follower of a particular person. They are the teacher, and we are the student, so to speak. And when it comes to authentic discipleship as a Christian, that is all about Jesus, being a follower of Jesus. Now, authentic, remember, means the real thing, the genuine thing. It's not a knockoff. It's not an imitation. And so I think to be an authentic disciple, what it means is that we have to follow Jesus up close and personally. Up close. Now, I know some people want to kind of keep Jesus at a distance. They keep him at arm's length along the way. And they might say, well, because my values are very similar to the values that the Bible teaches, then I can be a follower of Jesus from a long ways away. Yet, I don't believe you can. I think being authentic disciple or follower of Jesus Christ is that we have to know him personally. And then we need to step in and we need to stay close to Jesus. And wow, there's never been a truer word than that in these moments that we share together, in this circumstance that we find ourselves in the relationships that we're sharing at this time. Now, you'll find all of these elements in our scripture passage this morning. And what Luke records for us in Acts is clearly that we are supernaturally empowered witnesses of Jesus, because we're following him personally and we're following him very closely. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and then to the ends of the world. You may know that those areas are ever-increasing circles. Start in the very center, and then the idea and what Luke records for us and communicates to us is we start right where we are with those in our sphere of influence. And then we begin to move farther and farther out to the ends of the world. And as we go as followers, striving to be authentic followers of Jesus, we want to follow him closely. So what does it mean to be supernaturally empowered, and what does it mean to be a bearer of this life-changing truth? Let's start with the power first. We're going to move on to Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, that's the festival 50 days after the Passover when Jesus was crucified. All the believers were meeting together in one place. How essential, by the way. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. Then what looked like tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in other languages. Everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken. So we have a loud noise, we have a bright flame, and then we have this very unusual thing happened where people spoke, and they spoke a language they were never taught. And clearly, these are signs of the miraculous. Signs of what it means to be empowered supernaturally. To have the Holy Spirit take up residency in your own life. Now, there is a power that we can enjoy and a power that we need in our life. And this passage in the whole subject of authentic discipleship challenges us to make sure that, well, are we plugged into the power source? If we had more room, I would have brought like a fan today. And, you know, you can turn things on and they don't work. Now, that might be because they're broken, or it might be that they just need to be plugged in. We assume that they're plugged in. We think they're plugged in, but obviously that fan or that person is not plugged in. So I believe that our step forward in authentic discipleship is to follow Jesus closely, and as we do that, we get plugged into the Holy Spirit. Now, no one comes to faith without the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And as I'll say in a moment, we really believe here at SCC that daily dependence upon the Holy Spirit is something we need, and it's the right way to live, the best way to live. So how do we get plugged in? How do you get plugged into the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, it is clearly about confession. Paul is right in Romans 5:8 that confessing our faith, confessing our allegiance, speaking as our hand goes in the air, so to speak, to ask Jesus to be the leader of our life, that gets us plugged into the Holy Spirit. It's not only about that confession, but it's also about the commitment that we make. Now, I'm like you. When I became a Christian right before I was 18, well, I didn't know everything I was doing when I said, okay, Jesus, you lead my life. And I've spent the balance of my life understanding what I did that day when I raised my hand in that Bible study. We do spend the rest of our lives understanding the commitment that we have made. But in that moment, our confession and our commitment are all in. We have to be all in. It's not just what we feel on the inside in terms of our commitment, but it's also the profession of our faith to others. And that's recorded for us in John 1:12, right? Whoever believes and accepts, whoever receives. There are a lot of words in the New Testament that are really talking about commitment and confession, confession and commitment. And when we're committed and when we're confessing, we are plugged into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there way before we get there, I can tell you. He makes the first move towards us. He's the one that prompts our heart and our soul, and then we respond to that. We take up God on His invitation. So we want to get plugged in, so to speak, and we want to stay plugged in. Now, how do you know that you're plugged in? Confession and commitment gets us plugged in, but how do we know we're plugged in? And it's interesting to look at our passage and what it says. It makes it very clear that in Acts 2, verse 4, that it's for everyone, everywhere. God's love and God's aspiration is that everyone, everywhere would understand his revelation, that would engage in Him revealing Himself to us. So it's for everyone, everywhere. It's for you, it's for me. It's for those that are here, those that couldn't come, and those that are yet to come to be a part of Jesus and his followers, his devout followers. Now, here's the thing. I think the Holy Spirit confirms that He's taken up residency inside of us. And I do believe it's for everyone everywhere. I don't believe one group has a corner on the market on the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit comes to all who confess and commit their faith. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, you couldn't do those two things. But I believe that he validates that, he confirms that in us. In graduate school, I read a very interesting book. It was by Blander and Grinder. And it has to do with therapy and vocabulary and words. And in their study, they just made it, I'll give you the simple version of the 200 plus pages I had to read. They simply say, and it's very true, you have three input channels of communication, and you have three output channels of communication. And often they're the same coming in and going out, but sometimes how you take in information is different than how you communicate it. Here's the bottom line. People are either auditory, visual, or kinesthetic, which means kind of feeling, large muscle movement people. And isn't it interesting that you go back to this Acts miracle, and what do you find? You find an auditory confirmation. It sounded like a roaring windstorm. You have a visual affirmation, a bright tongues of fire rested over the heads of people. And then there was a great clamor and great excitement as people realized that someone who doesn't know their language is now speaking their language. And those speaking a language they never learned, well, they were pretty excited about it. And so were the people that heard it. And so I believe that the Holy Spirit comes and confirms for us either in what we hear, what we see, or what we feel. What we hear, what we see, what we feel. And I believe that when we confess and are committed to Christ, I believe that the Holy Spirit comes and confirms for us in one of those ways, perhaps more. But we hear something that we understand that, you know, perhaps it's just the whisper of the Holy Spirit. We see things in the changed lives of others. We see things in the truth of the Scriptures. Then we have a feeling, a personal feeling with the Holy Spirit. And then there's something that happens amazing as we gather together and we feel the Holy Spirit's presence. We feel His presence in our midst. So how do you know you're plugged in? The Holy Spirit will confirm it to you. The other thing is you'll have a consistent commitment to spiritual habits. Now, I don't know about you, but I wasn't maybe all that consistent in the beginning. But I've learned that consistency allows me to move closer to Christ, to hear the Holy Spirit better, to see what the Holy Spirit is doing, and feel the Holy Spirit. And so we need to study our Bible. We need to pray. We need to serve. We need to worship together. We need to go and tell others about what we've experienced. And so first we have to find the plug, and then we have to make sure it's in the power source. And we know it's in the power source. If I brought a fan, you'd know it worked, because it would what? The blade would go around and we would feel the wind. Now, God confirms that to us, that the Holy Spirit has taken up residency with us, and that is magnified and emphasized as we become consistently committed to spiritual habits. And if you don't know about spiritual habits, the next time we do step two, that step's for you, because we'll give you some really good tools in your spiritual toolbox in that step. Now, it raises the question, can we ever get unplugged? Yeah, I think we can get unplugged. I don't want to go too far with that, because I do believe that we get unplugged, but we're not completely unplugged. Has that ever happened to you with something you were using? It looks like the plug's in, but it's not really making contact. And sometimes we're not making contact with the Holy Spirit. Now, to me, it's the idea that I have a vivid memory when I was a child being outside and a giant rainstorm was coming in the summertime. And I remember seeing my sibling on the other side of this open screen door, and then they closed the screen door and locked it so I would get wet. Now, you know, without the screen door, I could see them extremely well. I could see the details of their face and what they were wearing and all of that. But as soon as that screen door shut, they got a little fuzzy. I didn't feel like I visually had the kind of contact with them that I had previously. And so I don't want you going out of here doubting your eternal security, because I think it's really held up on Jesus' side way more than it's held up on our side. And Jesus doesn't want us to worry about that when we falter and fail. But these are the three things that kind of wiggle the plug out a little bit in your life, all right? Number one, and this is a big one, is apathy. Being apathetic. We have to be consistent in our spiritual habits. And when we get apathetic about that, well, I tell you what, don't be surprised you don't feel the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't feel His presence, that you're not hearing His whispers. Why? Because we're being apathetic. We're trying to be authentic disciples, but we're too far away. We're not bringing our best self to the moment with God. And so we distance ourselves, our frequency level goes down, and before too long, we're just apathetic about it. Number two is conflict, arguing, James 4:1. Remember, James is not talking to people outside of the church. He's talking to people inside the church. And what does he say? Stop the quarreling. Stop the quarreling. Stop the arguing and the conflict. Instead, what does Paul say? You have to work on unity and harmony. Notice what he says. You have to work on it. It's not automatic. When we get in conflict, everybody starts backing up. Either that or they're going beak to beak with one another. Neither of those are the right model of Christian community. And so last week, my last point, how do we disagree without being disagreeable? We can disagree, but not be disagreeable people. A third thing is just our own sin. Now, as I prayed this morning, I used the two most common definitions of sin in the New Testament. It means to miss the mark. Anybody always a bullseye marksman? No. Sometimes we let the arrow go of what we say or what we do or what we don't say and what we don't do. Sins of commission and sins of omission. And we let that fly, and wow, it missed the mark. It missed the mark. Sometimes we miss the mark by yards and miles. Sometimes we just miss the mark by inches. Yet we still miss the mark. The other term is to fall short. Any of you here fall short this week? I'm telling you, I did a couple of times. Oh, I thought it would land just right, and wow, it just fell short. And why did it fall short? Not enough power. Why do we miss the mark? Not the right vision. Not the right perspective. And so we should take our sin seriously. We should disagree without being disagreeable. And you're here today, so you're not apathetic. Thank you very much. Yay. And there are plenty of people watching online today. Thank you for that. They're not apathetic either. And as we offer opportunities to serve and opportunities to study together and fellowship together, those are the things. Those are the things that keep us plugged in. Two things. Number one, you are a supernaturally empowered witness. Supernaturally empowered. God does amazing, miraculous things through our simple faithfulness. It isn't a physical work, because being an authentic follower of Jesus up close and personal is really about our surrender and our dependence upon Him. And that's why He gives us the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, who would surrender? Without the Holy Spirit, who would confess? Without the Holy Spirit, who could really serve in the name of Jesus Christ? And simply, we can't. We need to get plugged in, stay plugged in. Know that God will confirm that over and over again to us in our life. And then we need to strengthen ourselves so we're not apathetic and we're not quarrelsome. And we're not taking our sin for granted. We have an ultimate grace in Jesus Christ, but it's not a cheap grace. It definitely was a costly grace to Christ. A costly grace in the beginning to all of his followers. So let's talk about the witness part now. We are the bearers of a life-changing truth. Then Peter stood up and said, God says, I will pour out my spirit on everyone, and they will all proclaim my message. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. Everyone. Everywhere. Once we get committed and we confess Jesus, we're now a witness. The question is, are we a good witness or not? But what I love about what Acts declares to us is that everybody is on the field in the game of life. No one sits in the grandstands. Literally, no one sits in the grandstands today. As it's been said, Christianity is not a spectator sport. God calls all of us to be on the field, to take our place on his team. So that in what we say and what we do, we declare that Jesus is Lord. And people have an opportunity to hear the truth. The life-changing truth of the gospel. You know, not all truth is life-changing. Have you noticed that? The truth of Jesus Christ is a life-changing, life-altering, destination-determining truth. Now, I've heard it probably like you've heard it. Someone has said to you, well, you know, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to get more involved because this year I'm going to turn over a new leaf in life. The Holy Spirit reminds us that coming to Christ is not just a turning over of a leaf. It is a looking towards a complete life change. Because then it's no longer about what I need to gain. It's about what God is doing in me and through me with other people. And so we're all on the field. We're all holding on to the truth. And that truth will do what? Set you free. It'll set you free. Now, people need to be set free. People need more interior life change than they think they do. And turning over a new leaf is really maybe the idea that God could add in, Jesus could add into my life. And I'll just add that on to the rest of everything I'm doing. No, we have to seek first the kingdom priorities. We have to be authentically engaged. So we're all a part of this. As Peter declares, we're not just turning over a new life, we're turning to a whole new way of living. And as we do that, God calls us more and more to him. Let's go to Romans 10. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But who can ask them to save themselves unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? See, there's two statements we make here at Squim Community Church. Statement number one is that we believe the way to live your life day in and day out is to have a dependency on the Holy Spirit to guide you, to empower you, to send you. The other is simply lost people matter to us because lost people matter to God. And we exist as a community to communicate God's word to people around us. And sometimes that communication is what we say, and sometimes that communication is something that we do. But we're all in this. We all want people to come to Christ. And for that to happen, lost people have to matter to us. Someone's eternal destination has to matter to us. What needs to matter to us are people that are being led away by a little G God instead of the following of the big G God. The truth that we share is actually detailed for us in the rest of Acts chapter 2. When you go home this afternoon, get out a little piece of paper or get your computer fired up on a new word page and start reading in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, and read all the way to verse 40 and write down each of the elements of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you read there, and it's the whole gamut. It's all of it. And so we have these two profound things, these two profound elements of discipleship are so closely knit together in the beginning of Acts. It starts by being supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit. Getting plugged in and staying plugged in. Yeah, every once in a while, just check to make sure that plug's plugged in all the way. And as those that are bearers and those that have experienced the truth and the reality of the Holy Spirit, and as we're empowered, then we share the message with other people. And there are some details to cover, but you know what the greatest detail you can share with people around you? And you are the expert at this. Your own personal experience. I used to be like this, and then one day I realized, I need a lot more than just to turn over a new leaf. I need a life change. And as we realize that, then we share not only how we made a decision for Christ, how we confess that, how we committed ourselves to that, but what are the benefits? Is it really better to be a Christian? It's really better to be a Christian. It not only has immediate benefits for us, but wow, it has eternal benefits for us. And I, like you, I want to help people get to eternity. And remember, sometimes it's what we say and sometimes it's what we do. And the great thing is the Holy Spirit is the one that makes it all happen. And the great thing, the miraculous thing, the thing that blows my mind all the time is God wants to use me in that. Me. He wants to use me. He wants to use you. He wants to use us. The largest organization in the world is the church. The church. It's not Amazon. It's not Google. It's not Microsoft. It is the church. And why is it the largest organization on this planet? Because people experience supernatural power. Life-changing power. And they feel the call of the Holy Spirit sending them out to be His messenger in one way or another. Wouldn't you agree this morning that a genuine, authentic disciple, someone who's not only a follower of Jesus, but is leaning in and getting close to Jesus, wouldn't you agree that's about experiencing the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. And wouldn't you agree that it's those awesome opportunities and what we say and what we do to tell somebody about this great truth, this life transformational truth? Now, don't forget, the Holy Spirit keeps confirming that He's around in our life. Sometimes it's in what we think. Sometimes it's in what we see. Sometimes it's what we're experiencing. God knows us. God created us. And because of that, He knows just how to communicate to us that He loves us, that His power is available to us. All we need to do is plug into it. And that as we make our way, God does His thing. His agenda is carried out as long as we're dependent, as long as we're submitting, as long as we're allowing God to lead us. And yeah, some days we're a little hard to lead. But remember this, God doesn't give up on us. In fact, it's like all of the rest of you, when I look back, I could see God was after me way before I discovered that. I thought I was going to go seek God. And what I discovered is He sought me way before I thought about taking that second step. He does take the first step towards us. And because He's taken that first step towards us, I can tell you what, you can know the Holy Spirit. And you can understand a mission that goes far beyond a single event or circumstance or relationship that you have. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray today for those that need to confess and commit. I know that there are people that have heard You calling their name as You knock on the door of their soul and their life. And Lord, remind us that it's not about how much we know. It's not about even what our particular behavior serving, helping is. But it really is all about knowing You personally. It's knowing You personally that changes our life in a moment and changes our life for all eternity. And I pray for those that they would confess You today, that they would commit to You today. Lord, for all of us, we pray that we could stay plugged into the Holy Spirit, that we could plug in, but also, Lord, we would stay plugged into You. And so allow us to hear Your Holy Spirit when we're being apathetic or quarrelsome or sinful, knowing that as we confess any of those three things to You, that You're a great God and You forgive us, and You again empower us in a way that frees us up instead of binding us up. Lord, to the end that we are the bearers of this life-giving truth, I pray that You would show us the opportunities in our sphere of influence, the opportunity as far as the other side of the world, that we could make an eternal difference in the lives of others to Your glory, that they too would honor You. And Jesus, we pray all these things in Your name. Amen. Jesus, the name. So it is all about you, because you're a part of the everyone. You are a part. I am a part of the anyone. It's about calling on the name of the Lord once, ultimately, dependency daily. And don't be surprised that as you carry this life-changing truth in what you say and what you do, that the Holy Spirit doesn't call someone else to be a part of his family, not only now, but for all eternity. Amen.